Hi, welcome to part four, the fourth and final part of this series, Freed from Tithing, Free to Give. My name is Joel Brizeke, and in the first three parts, I hopefully did a good enough job of making the case that tithing, that is giving 10% of your income to a church, doesn't fit into the context of the new covenant. And since I made that case in those first three parts, we're going to move on now in this fourth and final part to new covenant giving. Not just being, I don't want to just leave it at being freed from tithing, but I want people to be free in their lives in Christ to give. And so what does giving look like in the new covenant? We'll take a look at that in here. And one thing you might have noticed, one thing that I left out of part three, the last part, when I talked about the mentions of tithing in the New Testament. One thing that I left out was the Apostle Paul and his mentions of tithing in the New Testament. And there's a very important reason why I did that. And that is because Paul never mentioned tithing. In all of Paul's epistles, where he did such a wonderful job of talking about the gospel, and of talking about life in Christ and what it looks like, what the life of Christ looks like in our daily lives as Christians, not once did Paul ever mention tithing. He talked about giving from time to time, but never did he mention tithing. That is, of course, unless you are one of the people who believes that the book of Hebrews was written by Paul, and if so, then Hebrews 7 does mention tithing. We talked about that in part 3, so please go back and see how I made the case that the writer of Hebrews wasn't giving instructions for Christian tithing. Rather, he was using that to show how Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, showing how the ministry of Christ is greater than the ministry of the Levites and the Old Covenant. So anyway, giving is not meant to be a teeth-pulling experience. Giving is supposed to be something that we do cheerfully. Let's look at what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 9. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So God himself provides us with an abundance, and with that abundance, then we are able to provide for the needs of other people cheerfully and joyfully as we decide in our hearts that we want to do. And the thing is that everybody's circumstances are different. Obviously, we got one person that makes $40,000 a year. We got another person who's a millionaire. Just two examples out of the millions of examples of how much money people make. And so everybody has been, quote, blessed a little bit differently in this lifetime. And so because of that, that's just one reason why there shouldn't be any one blanket standard for giving. And as I look at all the scriptures, you know, we mentioned all the scriptures that talk about tithing, both in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. And remember, those tithing instructions had nothing to do with giving finances, for one thing. And also, as we go back and we look at the entire Bible and see all of the examples of when people gave to others, there are so many examples other than a tithe that people gave. Sometimes it was much less than a tenth. Sometimes it was much more than a tenth that people gave. And so if we want to say that there is some blanket standard for giving and call it 10%, then we're missing out all these other examples in the Bible. The point here being that there is no standard for giving. It's just, again, in the life of a Christian, what you decide in your heart that you want to give, as you take a look around you and you see needs in your life, the needs of other people in your life, and as you're able to provide for other people, and again, this may be finances, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with finances. We can give in so many ways. You know, people need your time in various ways. Maybe you have other material possessions that you can help other people out with. Your service to other people, just simple friendship. People need hugs. People need love. People need grace and mercy and forgiveness. And there are so many ways that we can give to other people that have nothing to do with finances. And so let's take a look at our own lives and see what we're able to give and provide for other people. You know, as I mentioned before, the body of Christ, as I mentioned in a previous thing, we're one unit. We're one body with many different parts, many diverse parts. We're all so different, but yet we make up one body. And each member of this body, of the body of Christ, is to minister to one another for the benefit of all. Some people are able to do certain things, some people are able to do other things, but all together, it all works out together, but there's no set standard as to what any one person is meant to do. We're all so different. Now, in the church today, unfortunately, we've got this, the way that it's set up, and I won't get into the church system and all that and how, you know, the system of today is nothing like what it was in the Bible. But I will say that, unfortunately, one thing that has been focused on in the church when it comes to giving is, well, two things. They focus on, one, financial giving, and two, giving to a church. And I think because of that, we've lost this focus of all these other ways that we can give. Everything revolves around a church in the way that things are set up today. And here's what I'll say about that. One thing I'll say about that is if you have decided in your heart, cheerfully, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but simply because you want to, if you've decided that you want to give within the context of a modern-day church, then that's wonderful, and don't let me stop you if that's what you want to do. If you want to give 10% of your income or any other amount to a church, then go ahead and do that. But don't go around saying that the Bible says to do that. That's what you've decided to do in your heart. Don't go around telling other people that they need to do that, because there are so many ways that there are so many needs in the world that need to be met. And here is something that I feel very strongly about. I think that there are so many needs in the world that are going unmet. People who are in need of all kinds of things, and those needs are not being met because so many church people are tied to the notion, tied to this idea that they have to give 10% of their income to a church. I'm sorry if I ruffle some feathers there, but look around. Look at all the needs in the world that are going unmet because people are giving 10% of their income to a church. Again, if you want to give to a church and support the way that it's set up with the pastor and the staff and the church building and the mortgage and heating and cooling and ministries and all that, if that's what you want to do, then that's wonderful. But I want to get us outside of that bubble. You know, I want to get us outside of that box of thinking that giving has to be within the context of a church. You might have to recalibrate some things in your mind to go along with this. You might need to do some rethinking, and that's okay. That's all right. Maybe you'll do some thinking and come to a different conclusion than what you've had all your life, and that can be a good thing. And so just don't tie yourself down to this idea that you have to give money to a church. That's really what I'm trying to say there. Paul, you know, some people will take these words of Paul here in 1 Corinthians 16 and say that it's talking about giving money to a church. Let's just address that real quick. Where Paul says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. And so people take that and they say, see, people are supposed to lay money aside to give to a church every week. That's not at all what Paul is talking about here, though. If you will read the whole passage for yourself, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4, he's talking to the people of Corinth, and he tells them that he also talked to the churches of Galatia, that in Jerusalem, they were having some needs. There were some needs that needed to be met at the church in Jerusalem. And so he asked these people to set things aside every week so that at a certain time, somebody would come and collect all of that stuff and bring it to Jerusalem. And then the needs of the people of Jerusalem would be met. It wasn't an ongoing thing. He wasn't trying to set up this standard for bringing things to a church every week. He was just saying there's a need that needs to be met. If you guys would just please set things aside, and when it's all said and done, someone will come and we'll bring that gift to Jerusalem. That's really as simple as that was. And this whole idea about reaping and sowing, I just wanted to address that in this series, because many people think when they talk about giving, they think that if they give, God will give back to them. And they base it all upon this passage in 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If you take just that verse, right out of context, you get the idea that if I give, then God's going to give back to me. But that's not what he's saying. I won't read the whole chapter here, because it's the whole of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. But in short, Paul starts off by saying, now concerning the ministering to the saints. So he's talking about some saints that were in need, and he was asking the Corinthians to provide for their needs, to sow so that these people would reap. And so what he's talking about here, he's not saying that if the Corinthians will give, then God will give back to them. But what he's saying here, he says, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So the reaping that's done is not for the people who gave. It's the people who gave were able to give so that the people who received could abound. The reaping wasn't done by those who sowed. The reaping was done by those who received the gifts. It wasn't about me sowing so that God would give something back to me. It's not about me sowing so that I would reap. It's about me sowing so that other people reap. Giving is not about me getting something in return. That's not generosity. That's not giving. That's selfishness. The only reason I'm giving is so that I'll get something back. No, giving, true generous giving, is from a heart of love. People who see someone in need, like Paul said here, now concerning the ministering to the saints, there was a need, and the people wanted to meet that need. And so generous giving is saying, I see a need over there. I want to provide for that. And so I take out of my resources, and I give to those people in need. And that's it. That's what giving is about. Whether I get anything out of it or not, my motivation shouldn't be that I get something back. My motivation for giving should be that other people have a need and I simply want to benefit other people by providing for them. That's really what giving is all about. And so as we wrap up this series, hopefully, as I said before, I want our minds and our hearts to be freed up. Freed from the notion that giving has to be a certain amount. And understanding that in life, circumstances change. Me, as the giver, my circumstances are going to change. I'm not always going to have the same amount that I'm able to give. And again, it doesn't always have to be finances. In fact, so many times, it has nothing to do with finances. But it has to do with giving of myself in so many other ways. And then the need, the person who is in need. Their circumstances change. Maybe sometimes they need someone to give more to them. Maybe sometimes they need less. And so it's not always this one standard for giving. And then take a look, just think about this. One person who is able to give one day might be on the other end of the equation some other day. They might need somebody to give to them. And vice versa, somebody who is real needy today, in need of somebody to provide some things for them. Some other day they may be in a position to give. It's just life changes, circumstances change. And so there's no set standard for giving in the church. So again, I hope that we get ourselves out of the box of thinking it has to be done a certain way. And I hope that we can be freed to give from our hearts cheerfully, as we have decided. You get to decide in your own heart what you want to give and how you want to give and how much you want to give, and whether it's finances or whether you see other needs in people's lives that you can give to. You're so free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in that freedom. Don't let anybody put you under a bondage of how much you have to give. Don't let anybody tell you that these old covenant tithes and even the pre-law tithes are a standard or are an example for Christian giving, because they're not. Hopefully I made the case in the first three parts that they're not. But the case to be made when it comes to being freed from tithing and free to give is that you get to decide in your heart what you want to give. So thank you for joining me for this series. I do hope that you've been freed from tithing and free to give. Now go and be free in the Lord Jesus Christ.